Morning's topic is about democracy and halacha, very relevant for the week, as of course I'm sure you all imagine, related to the Parsha, right? Parsha speaks about the War of the Kings, they were first introduced to Malachim here in the Parsha. So in light of that, then of course the elections, I figured I'd speak a little bit about the elections, not who to vote for, but democracy and halacha. So the pasuk tells us in Parsha Vayeshev, when Yosef told the brothers about his dreams, so the pasuk says, "Vayomru lo echav." So the brothers say to Yosef, "Hamaloch timloch aleinu." Are you going to rule over us? In mashal timsha banu. Are you going to rule over us in a different way? V'yosifu otzna also al chalamosav al dvarav. And that, of course, had incurred more hatred towards Yosef. So Ibn Ezra says, "What's the difference between hamaloch timloch and mashal timsha? What's the difference between these languages of malchus versus memshala?" Says Ibn Ezra, "O mashal timshal, does that mean anachnu nasimu melech? Are we, the brother saying, are we going to appoint you to be the king? Is this going to be a democracy? We're going to vote you, elect you as king? O ata timshal banu b'chazaka, are you going to come and be the king against us, b'chazaka?" That's the shaila. Is this going to be a democracy or a monarchy? Are you going to be the king and you make the decisions? Or are we going to vote for you? So that was the shaila that the brothers were asking Yosef at Tzaddik. So that's the question we're dealing with now. When halacha, what's the understanding of malchus? Malchus, is it a king, a monarchy from Malchus based David, and he makes a decision, the Kadosh Baruch Hu decides who's king, or do we have the right to choose and elect and vote for who the king and the various rules? Let's jump now to number five. Number five, let's speak about in general democracy, not in Malchus necessarily, but in Halacha. And we have the famous Gemara Bava Metzia Dafnin in Testament Beis. Those who learned Daf Yomi will be there in 2.5 weeks or so. The famous Machlokas HaTanur Shachnai about whether a certain oven was Tameh or not. And Rebbe Lazar had to paskin against Rebbe Yeshua, they had a Machlokas what to do. And that day, the famous Gemara tells us the Maisa, that Rebbe Eliezer had answered all the various kasha they had in the world. Every single question he answered, below Kibla Heimanu. No one accepted what Rebbe Eliezer had answered. So Rebbe Eliezer said, "Im halacha kamosi," if the halacha is like what I'm saying, so let this tree prove it. This tree will prove that I am correct. And nekar charuv mimkomo mea amen. This tree was uprooted and sent off 100 amos. Others say it was thrown 400 amos. So they said back to Rabbi Eliezer, "Ein mivin raya min acharuv." You can't bring a raya proof from the tree. So then he says, "Okay, fine. Im halacha kemosi, if I'm correct, amas amayim yochichu. Let this river in front of us." That proved for us. So all of a sudden, the water started to go backwards against the current. So you see, I'm right. So they said, "Ein mevin raya mi amas hamayim." You can't bring a proof from water. So then he says, "If halachas kamosi, let the walls of the base medrash prove that I'm correct." And the walls began to fall, and Yeshua started screaming at the walls, "Don't you fall?" So what happened was, so the wall ended up staying in the middle. Didn't want to stand up for Rabbi Eliezer, but didn't want to fall because of Yeshua. So then he says, "If halacha kamosi," says Rebbe Lazar, "if I'm really correct, let the Shemayim prove to me." Yatzas Abaskol, Baskol, a heavenly voice came out and said, "Malachem Eitzer Rebbe Eliezer, who are you guys up to Rebbe Eliezer?" Rebbe Eliezer is huge, God Hador. Halacha kamosi b'chol makom, whatever he says goes. So stands Rebbe Yeshua up and he says, "Amon Araglov," and he says the famous line, "Lo b'Shemayim hi." It's not in Shemayim. And what does that mean? It's not b'Shemayim. Says Rabbi Yirmiyah that the Kvar Nitna Torah Mehar Sinai. Torah was given to us, and Ein Anu Mashkichim B'Baskol. We don't pay attention to Baskols. We don't pay attention to what's in Shemayim. The Torah says, Acharei Rabim Lahatos. We follow the majority. That's why the Gemara says many places of Nimnu V'Gamru. Nimnu V'Gamru means what? They took a count, they took a vote, and they decided. There's a Mishnah in the second parak of Shabbos, which talks about Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai having a machlokas. And one day they said, "Now we're going to decide what the halacha is." They stopped anyone who was inside. They put borders up the wall. Anybody who was in the Beis Medrash couldn't leave. Anybody who was outside couldn't come in. And they took a vote who was right, Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. So that's Nimnu V'Gamru. We have a concept of following the majority when it comes to halacha. Yeah.
If there's a baskol coming out, maybe Taka, there is something wrong with our logic. Maybe we should have a second look.
Okay, granted, but there's still Lo B'Shemayim Hi, and they're right.
I hear that.
Eilu ve'eilu dir lo kemchayim. They're both true. The question is, who do they prefer? Who do they think was correct in this world? So then there's another idea, another application we find of this halacha, that the Mishnah tells us in Avodah Zarah that number six, Rabbi Yehuda and Beis Dino nimnu alav v'hitiru. It's referring to shemen. Oil of an akum, we know pas akum is a problem, whether you're machmir or not. It's a machlokas, whether you have makbid in pas Yisrael. We're typically not makbid in pas Yisrael, but we're makbid during our Seder Shmei Tshuva. Mishnah Berurah brings down we're makbid on Shabbos and Yom Tov to have dafka pas Yisrael. Bishul akum is a problem according to all standards. How do you circumvent it? Machlokas svarim ashkenazim. When it comes to shemen shel akum, olive oil from an akum, so Rabbi Yehuda of Beis Dino said it's mutter. You could have olive oil that was pressed by a akum. So the Gemara explains, why is that the case? Wasn't Daniel, who came generations, many generations prior to Rabbi Yehuda, Daniel, in the Nevi'im Ksuvim, Daniel said he was gozer alav not to have shemen from an akum. So how could Rabbi Yehuda come along afterwards? The Mishnah in Edios tells us that Ein based in Yachol Levatel Divrei based in Haver. One a later based in cannot nullify exer from a previous Bezdin. So how could Rabbi Yehuda nullify not only a Bezdin, what Daniel had done? So the Gemara ends up concluding a very important concept we have many, many places. At the end of number six, I bolded it. Ein goes in Gzeira al Hatzibor. Elam kein rov tibor yichal lamoba. Unless rov tibor. So that means even if Bezdin now makes a decision, which is loba shemaim, the dayanim made a gzera, if the tibor is not able to withstand such a gzera, apparently they couldn't withstand the gzera of shemen zayis. It was, I guess, so hard to find shemen from a Yisrael. Shemen at sha'akim was better. It was more accessible. Whatever the reason is, they couldn't withstand such a gzera. So therefore, since rov tibor ein yichal lamoba, the gzera is batal. So we see yet another application where Rov Tibur make the decisions against Beis Din. The previous case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Baskol made a decision, and we went against that, the Rov. Here, the Beis Din, down in this world, made the decision, and the Tibur said we're not willing to accept it. So we have such a concept of how powerful the Rov is, the Rov, the majority of the people. What happens when it comes to choosing a king, a president, a prime minister, whatever name you want to choose for it? So the Pasuk tells in Parshas Shoftim, introduces the Pesukim, there's a Parshas HaMelech. It's called Parshas HaMelech. And there are a number of Pesukim that apply, and mitzvahs that apply to a king, how many wives and horses and how much money he's allowed to have. So the Pasuk introduces number 7, Kisavo El Haaretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lach V'Yirashu V'Yishavta Bo. When you enter into Eretz Yisrael, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us, V'Amarta, you're going to say, Asima Alai Melech Kechol HaGoyim. Place upon us a king like all the goyim asher sivosai. They're all around us. So from this pasuk, it seems to indicate that we decide that we want to have the king. It's v'amarta that you say asim alai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please place upon ourselves a king. It comes from the people. It's a democracy. But the next pasuk says som tasim alecha melech asher yivcha Hashem lokecha. This is a commandment, a tzivoy from Hashem. Som tasim, Hashem's command is, you need to place a king upon yourselves that Hashem will choose. Mekerev achecha, from amongst your brothers, he has to be Jewish. Tasim alecha melech, that's the king you need. The first pasuk indicates that we decide, v'amarta, that you, the people, are going to say. But the second pasuk says, Hashem decides, som tasim, you have a requirement to have a king. So which one is it? From the people or from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it seems to be a machlokas. Firstly, whether is there a mitzvah to have a king? Do you have to have a king? Is such a thing as a mitzvah to have a king or not? And then who decides who the king is? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the second parak of Sanhedrin, talks a lot about the halachas of a melech. And the Gemara records a brisa there that says Rabbi Yehuda holds that there are shalosh mitzvos nitztavu Yisrael b'knisas on art. There are three mitzvos that we are commanded upon when we enter into Eretz Israel. One is Lahamid Alahem Melech. The first one is to appoint a king. The second mitzvah is Lahachris Zaro Shel Amalek, to destroy Amalek. And the third one is Livnos Lahem Beis Habachir, to build a Beis Hamigdash. But we see clearly that there is a mitzvah to have a king. Som Tassim Alecha Melech. But Rabbi Nurai argues and says, not true. This parsha was only kenega tarumasan. What does kenega tarumasan mean? The complaints. They're complaining HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't commanding us. It was Keneged Tarumasan, as the Pasuk says, Va'amarta Simalai, that you guys are going to say, we want a king. I don't really want you to have a king, says Hashem. You complained, so I understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what was going to happen. So he said, okay, just to pacify their complaints, I'll let them have a king, but it's only because you complain. Ideally, Rabbi Nuhurai thinks that it shouldn't be a king. There's no mitzvah of having a king. So who's going to run the government? He doesn't address how the government will be run. Will be anarchy, will be the Sanhedrin, will be the Shvatim. He doesn't explain how it's going to be run, but having a king is very much b'dievet according to Rabbi Nuhurai. Well, Rabbi Yehuda thinks that there's a mitzvah, it's one of the three mitzvahs to enter into Eretz Yisrael, when you enter Eretz Yisrael, to have a king. So how do we paskin? Is it a mitzvah? Is it a rishus? So the Ibn Ezra on the spot says, even when the word says som tasim, it doesn't mean that's a tzivoy. It's a rishus. You have the option of having a king. You don't have to have a king. It's an option. There's a famous Abba Ronel who says that this is not a mitzvah at all. And he says, when it says that you're going to have a king, that the pasuk simply explaining what's going to be in the future. The Torah says you will ask for a king and you're going to be granted a king, but that's very, very much not with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The only reason why they wanted a king is because everyone around them had kings. They wanted to be like everybody else. It's almost like Chukas Akum to have a king. But it's very, very b'di'evid. And that's what Barbanel says. Having a king is really very much b'di'evid. It's only because they wanted to be like the goyim around them, and they were in fact punished because of this. So while the Ibn Ezra paskins, it's a rishus, you have the option. Barbanel says it was very much a bad thing to decide to have a king.
How does that Barbanel read the Gemara? Or posit this vote?
Right. So it seems that he would paskin like Rabbi Nuhurai against Rabbi Yehuda. That's how we have to deal with that. And what was the other question? In terms of
the second pasuk.
No, so that's the response. So once you ask for it, so then the pasuk says, "Som tasim." In light of your complaints, we'll let you have a king. We'll let, but it's very much b'di'evet. He says. Now the Rambam paskins in number 11. He paskins like the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda. Shalosh mitzvahs. One of the mitzvahs are that one of the 613 mitzvahs is to have a king. There's nothing b'di'evet about that at all. It's completely lichatchila to appoint a king. And the Ramban has some hybrid. The Ramban and the Netziv, we'll see in just a moment, have a hybrid. The Ramban says, there's a mitzvah to have a king. It's a mitzvah asay. Sheyechayv osanu lo markein. We as the people have to demand a king. That's how it works. They're both true. When we say, vasim alai melech, when I want a king, that's a chiyah for us to say that, to request it. And then the response is, Som tasim alech hamelech. And then the response is, we get to have the king. So we ask for it, and similarly, we choose to have the king. It comes from the people. That's what the Ramban says. It's a mitzvah that comes from us. We have to say it. And if we don't ask for it, that's why there was no king until Shaul, because we never asked for a king. Now the truth is, there is a discussion whether Moshe was a melech, whether Yeshua was a melech. There's a lot of sources that Yeshua was a melech, and seemingly Moshe was also a melech. The Rambam talks about this a little bit. But according to Ramban, there was no melech until we asked for it, which is by Shmuel and Shaul. So that says the Ramban, that's part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to ask for a king. It comes from the people. That's how the mitzvah is. Now the Netziv says there's no set way. They're both true. Sometimes we need a king, and sometimes we don't need a king. Sometimes with a king, the king gets too much involved, and we need to act as a people independently. And sometimes if we don't have a king, then we can't get any achdus together. So the Torah didn't want to phrase it in such a way where there's a requirement to have a king. It depends whether there's a need. When the people are asking for it, that we need a king to put some order in the country, so then that becomes a mitzvah. And when the people are not asking for it, so then there is no mitzvah of having a king. So we see there's quite a range of whether there's a mitzvah to have a king. Again, the Abba Arbanel says we shouldn't ask for a king. It's an iser to ask for a king. Ibn Ezra says it's a rishus, so we have the option. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah, there's a chiyuv to have it. And the Ramban says there's a chiyuv to ask for the king. And then the Netziv says it depends on the circumstances. Sometimes there is a mitzvah, and sometimes there's not a mitzvah. The Gemara in Horios tells us, based on the Pesukim, the different karbanos that you bring. When a yachid violates an avera, he brings a karban chatas. Which type of avera does he have to violate to bring a karban chatas? Anybody know? Right. If he were to do an avera, that would be karis dun bemezid. Let's say Shabbos. Person does bemezid, he gets skil and karis. So If he does that avera bishogeg, he brings a carbon chatas. So if a yachid has to bring a carbon chatas, it has to come from a goat. Now a melech would also be chayv chatas, but he brings different animals. I forget which animal he brings. Remember which one?
It's a zachar.
It's a sa'ir as opposed to se'ira. Okay. So the head yote, a regular person brings a se'ira, a female goat, and a melech brings a sa'ir, a male goat. So the Yushalmi in Horio says, number 14, Amar Rav Chuna dechol osan shisha chadashim, those 6 months, sheya David bareach mipnei Avshalom. David was running away from his own son Avshalom. During those 6 months, se'ira havos miskaper lo kehedyo. He would bring a se'ira of a hedyot, even though he was a melech. Very strange. Firstly, it's interesting that David Melech was bringing chataos. That's number one. He was on the run, he was bringing chataos. That's fascinating because the Gemara tells us at the end of Masechah Shabbat, the fourth parak of Masechah Shabbos, Kola Omer Shadavid Chata Eino El Toa. So he made a mistake. So it also says he brought multiple, actually brought one se'ira, a havos. So, okay, that's interesting. Not for now whether David sinned or didn't sin, but he brought a se'ira as opposed to a sa'ir. Very strange. Why? Because he's on the run from Avshalom, he wasn't a melech anymore? So there's a big machlokas in that corner. I brought down the Chuas Avnei Nezer, the Haggah, the footnotes. The footnotes were written by the Avnei Nezer, the Sagachever's son. Who's the Sagachever's son? Shemesh Shmuel. Shemesh Shmuel wrote the footnotes on the Avnei Nezer. And the Avnei Nezer, rather, Shemesh Shmuel writes, number 15, why was David HaMelech bringing a Se'ira of a Hedyot as opposed to the Sa'ir of a Melech? He was a Melech. So says the Avnei Nezer, rather the Shemesh Shmuel, Lav Lememra De'oz lo hayalo din melech klal. Not to say he lost his malchus. Not to say he wasn't a king anymore. Why then did he bring a carbon hedyo? Ela mi'acher de din sa'ir taloi b'mishenu agabav ela Hashem elokav. To bring a sa'ir, you have to be the highest person. No one could be above you other than Hashem. And at that moment, says the Shemesh Shmuel, Ela mi'acher shehaya nirdaf u'misyare me'av shalom. That David was running away, he was scared from his son Avshalom. Ba'karcho yesh agave shara. There was some shara above him. There was some governor, he was scared of someone. So that means someone was above him, other than Hashem. Not that he wasn't a melech, of course he was a melech. No one took him down, he thought that he was a melech. But the special chiddush, a special gzeres akasov, for bringing a carbon sa'ir, you could only bring a carbon sa'ir. Carbon sa'ir doesn't depend on a melech. Carbon sar depends on being the highest person. So you could be a melech and not be the highest person. David was a melech, but he wasn't the strongest person at that time. So for those 6 months, he wasn't allowed to bring the carbon sar. He was a melech. But the Karen Ora writes, the Karen Ora on Meseches Horios, he writes, this is on the top of the next page, he writes as follows. Nira da'adavir taloi ba'am. This idea of not bringing the carbon, sorry, I don't have page numbers, I apologize here. The truth is I ran out of ink in my house. My kids are busy making copies. So then I decided to take out some of the extra. My daughter suggested maybe make it in blue. So we had color ink. We didn't have the black, so I made everything in blue. But the borders and the page numbers stayed in black, so I didn't know how to turn that to blue. So I got rid of the page numbers, I got rid of the borders, but I tried printing out the blue, but still needed the black ink for it to work, so it didn't work. So then I just sent it over to my neighbor. I put the borders back on. I forgot to put the page numbers. So I sent it to my neighbor. They printed it out for me. So then I brought it over here to copy. And the copy machine in Weimar is having an important meeting with someone. I'm trying to get out really quickly. And as it goes through, it gets stuck. So, okay, great. And I'm stuck here. And so I'm busy trying to just learn this on my own without you guys preparing. So then Moshe Harry offered to take it to his house to make a copy. So he goes. It's taking 20 minutes. I'm getting nervous. So I pulled it up on my phone. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll give shir for my phone this time. Then he finally comes back with 5 minutes before the shir and says it got stuck in his printer also. So clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want us giving the shir today. So I hope is mochelas. A lot of tzaros. This is the first time that ever happened to me. Ran out of ink. Two copy machines are broken because of this. Okay.
Lo b'shemayim.
We fought hard down here. Okay, so says the Karen Ora. Elanira hadadavar tali ba'am. This is the top of that page. It should be page number 4. It's all dependent on the Am. What does that mean? The Cholshe Kibul Aleim Osol Melech. Anybody, any person who is accepted by the Am to be the king, Michuyavim Lasser El Mashmuso. V'gam behem hadavar taloi lo rido migdulaso. It depends on the am to appoint a king, and it depends on the am to take down a king, to remove him. So what's his raya? How do you know the am makes a decision? K'deisa b'yushalmi, the Yushalmi we just quoted, he quotes a Shoshana, it appears also in Maseches Horios. Shadavid kol hayomim shebarach mipnei Avshalom hayem iskaper b'si'ir akedyo. That Yushalmi. Af apisha nimshach tchila al shema dibur. What's the Karen Ora saying? What's his answer? Different than what we just saw on the Shema Shmuel.
Hashem appointed him, but he got downgraded when he wasn't the strongest person.
Meaning, during the 6 months, David wasn't a king anymore. He lost his malchus. So while the Shema Shmuel says he was still a melech, it just he couldn't bring in the carbon tzar because someone was above him, Avshalom was above him, but he had a dinner with the melech. Karen Ora says he lost the Shema Malchus. He wasn't a melech. Why? Why did he lose a malchus? Because it depends on the am. So if there's even one person, Avshalom, and perhaps I don't know what the numbers are, one person or maybe a chabura, people who are those followers of Avshalom, if there's some people, part of the am, who don't want you to be king, you cannot be king. You could only be king even though you're appointed. You could be impeached very easily by the am, by one person saying, I'm not interested in it anymore. If you don't have 100% votes, you're not going to be the king.
That's impossible. I mean, you have the same thing by Baltfila and Shul. One guy doesn't like the Baltfila, they're going to throw him out. Al pi halacha, we don't do that.
So, okay. So, Lemaisa, how it takes in fact, I don't know. I'm not sure how it works, but this is what the Karen Ora says. Again, I don't know if he means one person could take down a king or you need a significant group of people. I mean, he doesn't tell us what the numbers are. But you see from here, at least, the Shem Malchus depends on the Am. Depends on the people.
That's what they do with the Knesset. They take people out all the time.
So, when it comes to, however, the Shem Shmuel says, it doesn't depend on the Am. Once he's appointed king, David is a king, even though he's been running away from Avshalom and the rest of his followers, he still has a Shem Malchus. So they're arguing about whether Melech comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or decided by Hashem, or it comes from the people. Now there's an important Ran here. I don't want anybody to walk away with any Halach L'maisa from this Ran about Dina de Malchus Adina and not paying taxes. This is just very much for the Lomnis Shibo, no Psakir, that we could say for another time. But the Mishnah in Nedarim says, number 17, Nodrim laharagin laharamim lemuchsin, shichuma. I'm home, and people start banging on the door, the tax collectors come, or they're trying to steal things from me, and although they say shehi chuma, I could swear to them and take another that this is chuma. So this is interesting on many reasons. Yeah, afal pi sheino chuma, even though it's not really chuma, I can make such a nether. So it's interesting, firstly, that people are coming to steal from me, but if they say chuma, they'll walk away. So they follow some halachas, not all halachas. Someone was telling me the other day, I'm trying to remember who this was, on Shabbos, how this person was very makbid to give stuck all the time. And he gave stuck every single day. And he told it, who's telling me? Oh, so he was telling this, one of his workers, that here's a pouch of money and you should give stuck every single day, you'll be very, very wealthy that way. So when it came time to collect the invoice from this guy, all the bills, the guy refused to pay the money. So he's saying the guy's makbid to give stuck every day, but he wasn't makbid to pay his bills on time. So these are individuals here who were not makbid on stealing from people, but when it came to chuma, they would be makbid on chuma. Some people have a distorted understanding of how Chosha Mishpat works. Chuma, that's a serious iser. When it comes to taking people's money, that I'm okay with.
A little bit like a Korah, no? She came with her hair, she put her hands on something and got him.
Fine. So says the Mishnah, you could take such a nether that it's people are trying to take your money away, the tax collectors are taking your money, you could take a nether that's chuma even though it's not chuma. Now another interesting thing about this is, you're lying. How can you take a nether when you're really lying? Right. So what are the examples? You're only allowed to lie about three things, says the Mishnah, the Gemara in Bava Metzia. What three things? Shem Bayis. That's another Gemara Yevamos. Masechta
Shmiza and
Tamid Korea. Yes. There's some things about Shiduchim, but the Gemara in Bava Metzia says, Masechta, someone asked you if you learned the Gemara, you could lie, I didn't learn the Gemara. Achsanya, about a host, which is interesting, and Purya, so that's a different one. So the one in Bava Metzia, those three, is Purya is Tashmish, Masechta, and then Achsanya. Now you're referring to Gemara in Ksubis that says, Machogis Beisil Beishama, you see a Kala who's not so pretty. So do you lie to her? Or you say, Kala no, Kala chasuda. You can lie to her anyway. So Beis Shammai says, no, you call that as is. If she's not pretty, so don't say anything. And Beis Hillel says, no, of course you're allowed to say how pretty she is, even though she's not pretty. The other example you said, the Gemara de Vamos, talks about Shalom Bias. That's this week's Parsha. Or,
I mean,
what?
So that's
a Medrash.
I mean, he was a
professional liar. But that Aaron going, this person wants to make up with you. He wants to make up with you, and he made Shalom that way.
Yeah.
But the Gemara talks about Sarah and Avram. Yeah, right? That Sarah complained that my husband's too old to have children. And Akash Baruch goes back to Avram and said that Sarah said she's too old to have children. That's not what she said. So the Gemara says one opinion is that, no, she really said both of them, that we're both too old. So Hashem just reported back to Avram what she said about herself. But the Gemara Yivama says, no, then another explanation is she really said only about Avram, that Avram's too old to have children. But Akash Baruch lied for Shalom Bias reasons. Okay, so here's another example. You could lie to save money. That's what comes out of this Gemara. You could say it's Truma when it's not really Truma. When a person's trying to take money out of you incorrectly.
I have a second. Isn't that only when the dinim are specifically geared against Jews, and I thought that all falls away once everybody's being treated equally?
Wait, which dinim?
Okay, I thought a lot of the halachas that came out about things that we are able to do against Akum is because...
Oh, so dinim, let's get to the Gemara about dinim de malchus adinim. The Gemara asks, how could you do this? V'ha'mar Shmuel, dina de malchus adina. The government says pay taxes, you need to pay taxes. How could you just avoid paying taxes? So says the Gemara, referring to a situation, Amar Rabbi Chinana, Amar Rabbi Kana, Amar Shmuel, b'mucha she'ein lo kitzva. The tax collector that didn't have, wasn't a certain percentage. He collected whatever he wanted to collect. It was unlimited. He could take everything you owned. So that wasn't fair. That's not a fair dina de malchus adina. Or, Rabbi Danai said, it's a mucha she'omid obe'alav. He was self-appointed. No one made you the tax collector. Who are you? So that's why you're allowed to lie in this situation. When it comes to normal taxes, it would be us. Okay, so now here's the... No one lives in Eretz Yisrael here, so it's okay what I'm about to say in the Ran. The Ran says, what type of government qualifies as a dina de malchus adina? Who do you have to listen to? Which governments? So says the Ran in number 19. He quotes the Tosas reading the bold, Zedafka b'malche ovde kochavim amar de dina de malchus adina. Only by a non-Jewish government do you have to listen to their halachas. Why? Mipnei she'aretz shalom. Because they own the land. America owns the land that we live in. So we're living in their land, we have to follow their rules. Aval b'malchei Yisrael. Lo, we don't have to listen to a Jewish government. Lefishi eretz Yisrael. Kol Yisrael shutun bo. We all have a chelik. It's my land just as much as it's your land. You can't call the shots here. This is my house. This is my property. There's no taxes I need to pay here. That's the difference he makes. But the chiddush is, what the Ran is saying, is that when it comes to Malchi Yisrael, it's ours, it's the people's government. They don't tell us what to do. We dictate what we want to do. So it's Eretz Yisrael is ours, we have a shutvis, that means the Malchus also only depends on what we really want to follow. Now we're not going against halacha here. We're talking about rules that they set up as part of the government, of having a functioning government. So that's what we learn from the Ran. There's some... aspect where the people have a say. That's a big chiddush of the Ran.
That sounds like a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I'm not passing. I'm just trying to draw out. We find different places where the people have a certain strength in the government. Let's do one last application.
So
actually, two more.
Even when they're not in government, just because they're part of the they don't have to be in government. You're saying
exactly. A government only works because the Am has a certain say. So that means if the government made a certain tax law, they could just walk away from it. Again, we're not paskening here. I'm just showing some interesting sources about how we see the people do have some say. Then there's a Gemara in Ksubis, appears a couple places in Sanhedrin as well. Gemara tells us, number 20, the name of Rav Ashi, Afilu leman damar nasi shemachal al kvodo, and nasi is mochan kavod, who a nasi is, pashis is a nasi refers to the nasi of each shevet. If he's mochan as kavod, he says, you could sit in my seat. He has the right to be mochel on his own kavod. However, when it comes to a melech shemachel kvodo, ein kvodemachel. A king is not allowed to be mochel on his kavod. If he says, you could sit in my seat, he says, you could ride my horse, you could ride my wagon, it doesn't work. Damar mar, b'som tasim alecha melech. Why is the double lashon som tasim? Says the Gemara, shetehei emaso alecha. They have to place upon you the ema, the fear of the king. And even if he's mochel on it, you have to constantly be som tasim alecha mechel. You have to always have that aim upon you. So what's the svar for that? What's the reason why I have to constantly, if he's mochel on the kavod, it doesn't work? So Rashi says it's a gzeir sakasif. Since the pasuk says som tasim a double ashem, riba hakasiv simos harbe. It includes multiple simos. I have to constantly put the aim on me. So the moment he's mochel in his kavod, I have an obligation begavra to take that aim on me again. And he's mochel, but I immediately have another requirement to sima tasom tasim alecha melech. Som tasim alecha melech. I have to constantly fear the king. To gzeres hakasiv. But Rabbeinu Yonah on Sanhedrin has a big chiddush. Rabbeinu Yonah says, you know why he doesn't have the right to be mochel in the kavod? Look at number 22 inside. V'nirli, says Rabbeinu Yonah, dehasam ki amrinan de melech shemachla kvodo ein kvodo melech. You know why? Mishum de kvodo hu kavod shel Yisrael. It's not his kavod, it's the honor of the people. The melech shelahem nichbad, their king is honored. Hilkach, therefore, eino yachal lemchol kvodon shel Yisrael. Unless he has everybody's approval of the people, he has no right to be mochel on his kavod, because his kavod is really the people's kavod. So he has no right to do that, because it comes from the Am.
You would say that his kavod is Hashem's kavod. Very
good. I think that Tosas Rush says it's Hashem's kavod. That's what Tosas Rush says. But says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's the kavod of the people. So he has no right to be mochel on the people's kavod. If he could get everyone to write in and say, we allow you to be mochel on our kavod, that's a different story perhaps. But Lamaisa, since it's almost impossible to do that, he's not allowed to. So while Rashi says it's a gezeres hakasuv, it comes from Hashem, says Rabbeinu Yonah, it comes from the Am, it comes from the people. So that's the case. We see many places that the people have some say in who, or at least how the government runs, dina d'malchus adina, in terms of the kavod, in terms of the karbon. So who appoints the king? Lamaisa, who gets to elect the king? So Rambam writes, number 23, it's based on the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The Rambam writes, Ein ma'midin melech b'tchila, ela al pi bezdin shel shivim zekenim val pi navi. You can only appoint a king through the decision-making of the Sanhedrin and the Navi. How do you know this? Ki Yeshua Shemineu Moshe Rabbeinu Ubeisdino. So this is the source in the Rambam that Yeshua had a din of a melech. This is one of the sources. He says in a few places, I think. And like Shaul and David were appointed by Shmuel, who was also Shmuel Ubeisdino. So that means we don't have a say. The Beisdin decides. Shmuel, the Navi, and the Beisdin decides who's going to be the king. So what happens to all those sources that we mentioned earlier, that the Am has a certain say, that we could not follow the halachas because dina d'malchus adina, it's my land as much as it's your land. So how come we don't have a right of who's going to become the king? So the truth is there are many psukim in Nevi'im, I brought a couple of them, that seem to indicate that the people actually do have a say in appointing the king. So look at number 24. In Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Vayomer Shmuel el Ha'am lechu, Shmuel says to the nation, go, v'nelcha ha'gilgal u'nechadesh sham hamlucha, go, renew the kingdom. So in response, Pasuk Tezvav, v'yelchu chol ha'am ha'gilgal, they went to Gilgal, v'yamlichu sham es shol lefnei Hashem ha'gilgal. They had appointed, they had made Shol king in front of Hashem, and v'yizbichu sham zvachem. They made the decision. It doesn't say that Bez didn't go and make the decision. The people, el ha'am. And we have another pasuk as well in Nimlacham Alf. And there are many psukim where the Am was the one being Mamlich, the king. So the question is, so who's doing it? At the end of the day, who's it making the decision? So the couple, I didn't see anyone answer this question. One of two suggestions. What do you guys think? How do you just reconcile these psukim? Where the Rambam says that the Minoy, the appointment is done by Sanhedrin, not the people. But the psukim seem to indicate that the people were the ones doing this.
There's a chilul like between a king like Shaul and a king Malchus Beis David, so it's appointed by Hashem.
So you say maybe it comes to Shaul, Malchus Beis David, those the first line, those first decision of Shaul and then David and Malch, that was initially from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Problem is, says
no,
so.
I'm saying like Malchus Beis David is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Shaul was not Malchus Beis David, that could be from the Am.
But there are many other cases in the Psukim where the Am was being Mamlech. Like the Mlach Ma'alf is not referring to Shaul or David, it's referring to a later king.
But what the Ramban said, the Am initiates it, and then Bezin takes over.
Yeah, so that's what I probably think as well. That we have to want it, we have to ask for it, right. But in terms of like the initial, right. The crowning is done by the Bezdin. But we decided who's going to be elected. And then Bezdin comes, and Hedgen places the king, you know, the crown on his head, and they say whatever they say. I'm sure wonderful tweelas and stuff. And that's probably how it was done. That's my guess also.
Yeah, but it has to be from Shevet Yehuda
altogether. I mean, there's a very... So we limited who it could be. Yeah. So USA has to come from an American citizen. Right. There's some limitations. That's not crazy to think of. So either way, we see many places that the Am does have some involvement in the process, and there's some level of democracy. So just to conclude about what the Melech is, what Melech represents in Machshava a little bit, the Maharal says that they're different people in the Am who have different parts of the body, meaning us as a unit, as Klal Yisrael, represent different parts of the body. What I mean by that is, the Kohen Gadol represents the Moach, says the Maharal, represents the brain. Sanhedrin represents, anyone know what Sanhedrin, what part of the body Sanhedrin represents? Einei Chol Yisrael, the eyes. And the Melech represents the Lev, the heart, the center. The Melech is the center, which brings together all the different parts of the body, all the Evarim, the Lev is pumping heart throughout the entire body. And that's why perhaps the letters of Melech, Mem, Lam, and Chaf, are the center of Alpes. Right? That's the three center letters of the entire Alpes. And those are the same letters of Kulam. If you switch them in the opposite order, it's Kulam. They're all together. The Melech is there to be Me'ache, to bring everyone together with Achtus. And that's perhaps why the Melech is the Gematria of 90, which is a Tzaddik. A Tzaddik also brings everybody together. Melech is supposed to be a Tzaddik, like the Lev, the center of the body. And that's also perhaps why the Esrog is connected to the Tzaddik and connected to the Lev, because the Esrog is also the heart, the Lev, the Tzaddik, the center of the body. And that's what Melech is supposed to be. A Melech is supposed to be the Tzaddik that really brings everybody together. So it's supposed to be appointed by the people and bring the Am together. So Mirat Hashem, we should be Zocha, that we have good elections this week. We should be Zocha to the elections of Lasu Lavo, the Yemos Mashiach, the Melech Mashiach, Meher Yamenu. Amen.